Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Burnt State has joined us with Gene and Chris on the Paracast Shop Talk 2015. So, Chris, you want to add to your response before we go back to Burnt State?
Yeah, I was saying that anecdotal data and creating these wonderful exalted databases is really not going to move our understanding and the field forward. It's just not. Garbage in, garbage out. All you need is a certain percentage of the data to not be accurate, or, you know, it's that garbage in, garbage out scenario. And it doesn't take much to skew statistical analysis if your data is not, you know, you can't take it to the bank and really rely on it. I think that we need to take a instrumented approach, wire up hotspot areas, and gather scientifically viable data that is irrefutable. You can refute anything that's anecdotal if you allow yourself the luxury of creating instrumented, setups of instruments that monitor real-time activity. You're going to have a much easier time convincing science, convincing people that something is real and deserves further study. I just think anything looking backwards, trying to data mine, is a waste of time. I really do. I think we need to throw all that out the window and start fresh and start from scratch and do it the right way. What do you think?
That was one of the criticisms leveled at him, and somebody had posted a good follow-up article to the conference that said pretty much the same thing. And even Valet said, you know, if I can cherry-pick the data, I can prove any hypothesis you want. I'll prove ETH, I'll prove IDH, I'll prove psychosocial. It's easy to do that. The bigger issue was what kind of filtering methods are being used to actually accumulate the data and determine what's the good data to look at.
Well, how long does it take, though, Robert, for us to find some level of research going on here? We have all this data dating back to the 1940s. Even if we subtract the stuff that James Carrion questions, ghost rockets, Roswell, whatever. Certainly we all discount Maury Allen, except as some kind of intelligence thing.
Sure.
We discount that. Where do we begin to sit down and try to find actual answers to this?
I think this is the biggest issue, that until somebody is going to decide to legitimize the field, whether it's legitimized scientifically, it's at higher areas of learning, there's institutions that are created, if it really means that much to society. But without that, it's always being restarted, recycled. You're always going over the same old cases, or you're going over cases that were disputed and being brought back to life again. And I think that's really the sad part of the field, because there has been good data. There has been good thinking. When you look across the history of it, there's been some exceptional theorizing, some wonderful diversity of thought that's been applied to the problem. But it's always restarting itself, and it's also caught up in a lot of, you know, mudslinging. And again, because there's no referee out there. There's no referee. There's no individual saying, here's the legit piece. You know, I think as close as we've got to that is Jerome Clark's encyclopedia. You know, that's the big tome that was written up that kind of covered a large historical piece. And he laid claim and said, okay, here's the legit cases. Here's the hoaxes. Here's actual events that took place. Here's what's been recorded. And that's, I think, the only real, you know, that's a starting point, at least. But beyond that, it's really everybody's individual, you know, as Chris pointed out, you know, you can take whatever you want and say whatever you want with that content. So that's our big dilemma, is there's no legitimate body or organization that's actually building upon the past. And if you don't build upon the past in a legitimate manner, then people just continue to argue and debate. And it really, it's a broken horse is what it is.
We have to look at the fact, for example, that MUFON got started in 1969. and they're still here. Mm. And what have they done? What evidence have they presented that science can look at and figure out what's going on? Where is it? Mm-hmm. We've been here since 1969. They've got to have a ton of this stuff.
I also like the fact that MUFON started, I think, within 6 months of Project Blue Book officially closing its doors.
You find that significant?
Yeah, I do. For obvious reasons. I think that, you know, Blue Book was that, it was a PR exercise, almost a necessary evil on the part of the Air Force. And I think that that MUFON was created to basically vacuum cleaner up as many sighting reports from, you know, the civilian population as possible, to go down into, you know, what many have been talking about for years is a black hole. And it was only through the efforts of James Carrion and in a lesser way, John Schuessler, that we have any sort of transparency and any sort of access to all these files that have been, you know, the tens of thousands of sighting reports that have been, you know, accumulated by MUFON since 1969, since, you know, within months of the closing of Project Blue Book. I don't think that that's an accident. Not enough people take that into account.
So would you say that the Bigelow piece now that's vacuuming up everything is just replay of that time period where, we're, again, data is just disappearing somewhere and it looks like it's going to move towards perhaps private interests?
Well, I think the real important cases, the cases that may, you know, I think that there's some sort of red herring effort going on, you know, on one sense. But I think there's also red flag cases that are being looked for. And when a particular case hits a certain set of parameters or alerts, that case is siphoned off. I think that they know what to look for. When I say they, I mean the powers that be. I think that there is a certain amount of educational awareness of indicators within witness descriptions of, you know, possible patterns of activity, let's say. And these cases are of more, I think, have more importance and are more interest to whomever is monitoring this from a invisible college, let's say, or even a governmental or military level. I've always had that sense that there are cases that seem to be more important in the eyes of the powers that be than other cases. So in the case of Bigelow, I think he may be inadvertently a public face of this type of effort. And much to his credit, he's putting his money where his mouth is. But it would be nice if we all had a need to know. It seems that, with the concentration of wealth and influence in the Western world in the hands of fewer and fewer people, the great unwashed masses seem to have less and less of a need to know. And I think when it comes to the paranormal, when it comes to ufology, this is not a good thing. This is the antithesis of what needs to be done. And I'm not for that. I think there should be transparency.
Yeah, it seems like there's it's become commercial ventures now. Like that, when you talk about the unwashed masses and what do they want? What they want out of it are great abduction stories. They want to become ambassadors for Stephen Greer. There's a lot of that kind of, really low level, lowest common denominator entertainment features that goes along with it. And I think that's a paradigm that's in existence right now to this state that's not driving anything forward. But when you look back at the history of, collected data collection or even as you identified, you know, that movement to try to publish data and put it out there, I guess the larger pieces, well, who's going to do anything with that content? I mean, who's making a wage or a salary or making a career out of it that would want to stick with it and see it advance and see it move forward? And when you do think of, you know, key scientists perhaps that did put some time and effort into it, they were squashed and eradicated or moved to other places where they could make money.
Well, there's no money in it. That's the problem with science. We got more to come. We have Burnt State joining Gene and Chris for Shop Talk. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Please go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You'll learn there about the other radio show we do called After the Paracast, where you never know what we're going to talk about. This is Shop Talk here, and we're going to have some other things that we're going to do in After the Paracast this week that you can't get unless you sign up for the Paracast Plus. It's real cheap. It's $5 a month, $50 a year, $175 for 5 years. So you get like 18 months free. You also get the ad-free version of this radio show. Plus, that's theparacast.com. And this added attraction, we give you a copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters if you subscribe for 1 year or more. Got Burnt State with Gene and Chris with our Shop Talk episode. And as you see, the discussion is very much focusing on the real lack of UFO research being done, just collecting a lot of data. Where do we take it? Is it all being mined by people like Bob Bigelow for whatever purpose he has? Chris, we have some questions from our listeners. You want to get to a couple of them?
Well, this might sound a little self-serving, but we have a question from our own Burnt State that I really want to get to. I guess when you posted your question, you didn't realize you were actually going to be on the show answering your question. But,
no, I didn't.
Well, now you can talk to yourself.
Great.
Well, you stated here, and I love this. You said, I'd like to hear some talk about the ETH, or the extraterrestrial hypothesis, as folklore. Do we really have any evidence whatsoever that the anomalous objects we see in the sky have anything at all to do with structured craft controlled by sentient alien species from off-planet? What do you trace back the ETH to? Is the whole concept just a confabulation of pop culture? Well, why don't you start us off with your thoughts on that particular subject, and I'm sure Gene and I will chime in as we have been known to do
sometimes.
Well, this is I obviously am a bit of a Philae disciple there, and have been accused of worse in the forums. But when you look back into the history of paranormal activity and our contact with strange things, and this really is the passport to Magonia piece, that, you know, once upon a time there was elves and there were fairies, and they abducted our children and took them away from us. And then fast forward into the modern era, and there's airships, and who's in those airships? Well, they're angry people, they're well-dressed people, they look like they could be from Japan or Ireland or Scandinavia, and they look human is what they look like, but they're flying in some pretty interesting machines and interacting with people that really, that shouldn't be happening at that time. And then when you fast forward then into the modern era of ufology, suddenly now we have contact with all manner of strange creatures that are there, and they're, you know, the humanoid listing that Albert Rosales has collected, it's absolutely mind-blowing that's there. But it seems to me there's a very set pattern that's been occurring over time, and that we've just created new stories depending on what's the nature of the technology of the time. And so in the earlier days, there wasn't a lot of technology, but the elves had fairy drinks, and that could alter you and take you somewhere else. And the airships are visible and things that we can look at. If you take a look at the UFO, this is about future technology. This is about our modern era of flight that is extremely advanced, something that when we started to dominate the skies, you know, World War II era and on, we start to see this manifestation of another, you know, type of technology that looks kind of like ours, but seems to be extremely more advanced than ours. And so to me, there's kind of a chain that's taking place there, that I see that ETH piece then becoming very popularized in literature. It's a narrative that happens in early sci-fi literature, and then it shows up in early television stories, and it proceeds from there. And now it's almost very hard to kind of separate the story from the fact. And I think we have to account for that, some of the strangeness of the cases and the repetitions of soil samples, the fact that we must be the hottest tourist spot in the galaxy for the number of types of vehicles and types of creatures that are visiting us. You know, none of these things really make a lot of sense in terms of that concept of the ETH. And I wonder sometimes, is the ETH just a really good story?
Did you think of the possibility, Robert, that maybe we're being led in a specific direction? So the presence of flying saucers, UFOs, showing potential advanced technologies for air travel, space travel, that's teaching us about the possibility in various ways of developing technology like that. We're seeing our future. We're being brought, maybe kicking and screaming, into a new age.
Well, you can actually take that even a step further. You could argue that possibly what we're seeing is some sort of evolutionary imperative, as my friend David Perkins would like to call it, something that is designed to draw us off planet, to get us out there, like a breath of wind that hits a dandelion and spreads the seeds to the wind. We need to get off this planet at some point. We're going to get hit by an asteroid. There'll be some sort of catastrophic, earth-ending event. The sun's going to go supernova at some point and burn the inner planets to a crisp as the sun goes gets larger and larger and starts to die and becomes a red giant. The Earth has a finite lifespan. And in order for this closed system, which I believe is a superorganism that's very much alive, I have always felt that our planet is a sentient superorganism. And perhaps the planet itself is helping us, kick ourselves out of the nest, so to speak. And we're going to have to learn to fly. We're going to have to see the universe. We're going to have to get out there, spread the gene pool out there into the cosmos. And what better way than to trick ourselves to get off planet by supplying us with the types of folklore and stories and motivation that we find within the, I guess, just the effect of the ufological mystery on our thinking, on our technological development, on our ability to get out there and see the universe. We're not doing a very good job of that right now. We're allowing the private sector to take control. We're allowing the free market system to dictate how that particular effort is going to proceed. Hopefully it's going to be proceeding in a timely manner. But we do have to get out there and see the universe, and we may be supplying ourselves with the kind of motivations that it would take to get us out there. What do you think, guys?
Well, let me suggest something here. Maybe Earth is sending that message. Mother Earth is telling us we've got to get prepared to leave this planet. We need to be spaceborne, and very likely there is life out there, and we need to become one with them. We need to meet these other people. And the fact of the matter is, or things, whatever they are, and the fact of the matter is here, maybe E.T. doesn't really care about meeting up with us because we're not ready. What we see now is not really E.T. It's a message. Maybe it's a message from E.T. It's a message from Mother Earth. It's telling us we have to leave this planet. And our entire existence as a race depends on making that decision.
It's an evolutionary imperative.
Exactly. It's part of our evolution. We'll talk about evolution and more, but no, I'm not going to get into that. Too political. Burn State, Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just three of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. 345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Brent State's with us for the remainder of the show with Gene and Chris talking shop. And Chris and I were talking about part of our evolution being given the message to get ready to leave this planet, to save ourselves, part of our survival. Can we go that far, Chris, Brent State?
What I was wondering about is, you know, where do our ideas come from? You know, when you talk about planetary psychology and, you know, that Jung addressed this idea of a collective unconsciousness, that perhaps there are these ideas floating out in the ether that we're sharing in. And if you think about the advance of technology in our society and culture and how that's affected us, you know, dramatically affected us, you know, the rise of the machine in the industrial era radically altered the way that people lived inside of cities. It affected the types of things that they dreamed about, the types of things they thought about, how they built and created societies. And you look at the modern digital revolution, which is, you know, phenomenally different at an even higher acceleration, you have to think there's got to be a lot of latent fears, concerns, anxieties even about entering into an era where we're getting more electronic contact than the natural contact. And I wonder, do we even have a connection to the earth? And is it more about us kind of looking at the ideas that are being created in our society and out of that idea pool, you know, that's kind of sitting inside of the back of our own brains, that out of this comes our ideas of the future, our ideas of a visitation, our ideas of departing the planet and going to other places. I remember reading a really good essay about someone talking about how, you know, UFO sightings are about latent human anxiety about entering into the technological era. And while I don't subscribe to the, you know, the kind of psychosocial or that kind of cultural context as being the only explanation for why we see the things that we do, I do think there's some relevance in there, and that we do need to start to investigate, you know, our sightings in a more specific manner and give consideration to cultural context, because the ETH has got a cultural context piece that has a history and Valet's mapped that out. So we've got to address that while at the same time still bringing good science to bear to understand how does human perception work? You know, how do we experience reality? And what is it that's actually out there that we're seeing in the first place?
Good point.
Let's move on with the questions.
Okay. Well, and I'm just going to go down the list here that Robert supplied us with at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our guests. In this case, it's a Shop Talk episode, so we're answering our own questions.
We're talking to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Here's another one from Robert. What do you subscribe to with regards to the UFO UAP conundrum? With so many objects to discount and consider, plasma, ball lightning, space reentry, sky critters, let's say Trevor James Constable's idea of sky critters, ultra-terrestrials, beings that are here but hidden from us, sky mandalas, that's a good one. That kind of harkens back to Jung. What would each of you put your money on as far as what is the majority of what is being seen? Gene, what do you think? Is all this just misidentified natural phenomenon, wishful thinking, ultra-terrestrials, sky critters, the collective unconscious, or actual aliens from outer space? I mean, where do you come down?
Can it be all of the above?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That would be my answer.
I think it's a lot of answers. It might be that E.T. is here and they're part of the situation, but it may also be that we have all these other forces at work, and that's what makes it so difficult to get to a real answer.
No.
Since you asked the question, Robert, what's your answer?
You know, I think that's the deal, is that it's the more we study and the more we know, and that's been the history of humanity, is the more we realize how little we know and just how complex reality is. Yeah. So I agree with both of you. I think it's many things, and certainly there's that possibility of aliens visiting. That's out there. And I would never one of the things I've noticed on the forum space is a lot of people, you know, as soon as you broach, oh, the ETH is folklore, suddenly people come out swinging going, no, that's a sacred cow. You can't say that everything's just in our heads. And I've never said everything's just in our heads, but I do think we have to understand how our heads work and how we see things, because that's intrinsically tied with the experiences that our people are having. I mean, reality is a virtual event inside of our heads given to us through our senses. So we need to be appreciative of that fact and recognize we're probably seeing a lot of different things take place. Some we might define ultimately as being natural, mundane, mysterious. I'm starting to give more and more credence to sky critters, to be honest, that there's some type of natural phenomenon that might be part of our atmosphere that might be affecting us in ways that maybe it's not even sentient, but it appears that way to us, in the way that Greg Bishop was talking about something that, you know, works like it's the weather or waves, that we're just responding to it in strange ways. But I don't think we can ever say it's just one thing. It's obviously many things that are at work here, and certainly not all of them are sentience behind it.
Yeah, I think it's the human mind. It just has a natural inclination to try to compartmentalize and try to categorize and classify things. And we may be attempting to, with the ETH, it's like a blanket explanation to explain a lot of things that we're experiencing that are all being sort of lumped together into one big amorphous category called the ETH. And when in fact it may be aliens from some other dimension, some other star system. But the vast majority, I think, of what is going on is highly complex and you know, could be a whole constellation of different things as described. So I think it's just part of human nature to attempt to explain things in the easiest, most simplistic way. And mm-hmm. And it's easier for people to, you know, get their heads around something if it's, you know, classified in a simplistic way. I think it's human nature to want to go the simplest route. And unfortunately, that doesn't work for many of these mysteries that we're all so interested in and that we cover here on the Paracast. And, you know, I really have a sense that, there is something that still needs to be discovered about the nature of human consciousness and how we actually are able to cognize some of these phenomenal events and why certain people see them in one way and the shoulder to shoulder with somebody else that might have a different experience. There's a reason for that, and I don't think enough work has been done to really explore the nature of consciousness and the nature of our abilities to cognize experience and then interpret that. So, you know, it's just such a wide open field still We're barely crawling. We haven't gotten up and taken our first shaky step. God forbid, you know, we should ever develop to the point where we can run a marathon. I think we're still on our hands and knees. We're little, you know, infants just scooting across the floor right now.
I agree.
We have a long way to go.
You know, I have a crazy thought as we were talking here about reality, and that is perhaps our reality expands as we perceive more of it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not just a basic reality that we just have to learn, but as we find things more and more complicated, the entire reality is adjusting itself.
Yeah, a nice bowl of DMT will really expand your awareness, or 5 or 6 grams of psilocybin. That'll jumpstart your cognitive process.
Well, it's interesting you say that because that, you know, the hallucinogenic experience and the altered states seems to be very connected to the UFO witness when it's a proximity case, when they're up close to something. It shares a lot of similarities in terms of fear, adrenaline, you know, the types of sensations that people are having, racing thoughts, perceptions of, you know, some type of sentience on the other side of it. I think that's the interesting part about the phenomenon. It is teaching us something about ourselves. And perhaps if we spend a little bit more time thinking about the witness and who they are and how they're being affected, and are there even categories of witnesses, maybe we can learn something about the phenomenon or learn more about ourselves. I found one interesting piece from the Project Core people that were solicited all of their you know, questions about people who've had paranormal experiences as well as UFO experiences. One of the most interesting overlaps in there was people who associated feelings with numbers and people who associated feelings with colors. Now, that's the synesthesia experience. That's right. The artist. That's the visionary. Now, that's the person who's having an altered reality every day in terms of how they look at things that are unfolding. So I think that's one interesting point.
We've got more to come with Burnt State. Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential. Reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I kind of wish that Bernstein came in a little bit earlier, because he was hitting here about this research and Project Core and some of the results that he's talking about. As we talk shop with Gene and Chris, Robert?
Yeah, the only other point I wanted to mention, which goes back to the other piece that Chris had mentioned, is, you know, human beings like a good story, and they like an ending to that story. We're not a big fan of open-ended stories, and we're also not a fan of stories that are, instead of suggesting A or B, but perhaps a third bank of the river, you know, another thing we hadn't considered at all that perhaps we couldn't even imagine to be out there. But I do think that's what the UFO phenomenon is doing, is it's stretching our sensibilities of how we perceive stories and narratives, because that's how we live our lives here on this planet, is, you know, is through the stories that we've been told by parents, or this is how you be in society, this is the messages we get from media, consumerism, etc. You know, that's how we live. And the UFO piece is offering something else altogether, and there is no simple answer. I think the ETH is too quick and too easy a solution, and that we need to recognize that it's trying to teach us another way of experiencing reality.
That, unfortunately, is a problem, because we were first exposed to the possibility of extraterrestrial UFOs back in the 1950s, and we haven't grown beyond that. Well, most people haven't who have been exploring the subject. And one of the things where we think the Paracast is different from other radio shows is we try to expand your mind. Not saying you should take substances, but consider a lot more possibilities here, that what we're exploring is a lot more complicated than you have a right to think. Of course, unfortunately, the media wants to think it's all about ET, that when you say UFOs, it is tantamount to ET. And when news reporters talk about people interested in UFOs, they are invariably ET believers. Chris, you want to get to another question?
Well, here's one from Poltergeist. It's more of an observation, really, than a question. But I think this whole recent German Wings crash, it kind of shook him to the core a little bit. The guy who actually dove that plane into the Alps was from his hometown in Germany. And he says it's catapulted him back into the near nihilistic state of mind that he experienced after the 9/11 attacks. It seems so senseless, but and I can feel your angst about that. Believe me, 9/11 did a big number on me. It still has done a number on me. But he goes on to mention Linda Godfrey's appearance here, and her description of a ball of light that she saw, while another witness saw a full blown aberration of some sort of ghostly form, and he's been wondering about the unwillingness of most UFO researchers to consider balls of light as part of the phenomenon. And there is a German researcher by the name of Gerhard Goschel, who's a very technical and down-to-earth guy, who has set up cameras at several UFO hotspots, quote-unquote, and recorded nothing at all in the way of nuts and bolts, but quite a few balls of light zipping around or hovering. And he always checks for misinterpretation of headlights, aircraft, and other mundane explanations, of course. Instead of following his research, other ufologists are dismissing him wholesale, of course, saying it's either natural phenomena like plasma balls or just some, you know, indiscernible light. Well, how about trying to get a really good look at them instead of just shrugging them off? And I agree. I think that, if you look at the totality of UFO sightings, a vast majority of them are and do appear to conform to that particular category of sighting, which is amorphous balls of light. I have seen them very close to me. I've had them pace my car just a few feet away. I've seen them zip around the forest in Colorado, light up trees. I've actually been higher in elevation and see balls of light lower than me in elevation with a completely uniform overcast sky. These are not nuts. I wouldn't describe them as nuts and bolts craft. They may be natural phenomenon. They seem at times to be intelligent. And I think that this category of sighting is really and Polterwurst is, I think, rightfully pointing out that this category of sighting is not really given the amount of attention that it possibly should. What do you guys think?
I think a significant number of the sightings that have taken place over history seem to be varying sizes and colors of balls of light. Certainly the most fascinating ones, and I really hope you could get this guy on the Paracast, is the character who's been investigating the Hestelin phenomenon, because he actually presented at the GAPAN conference that took place in Paris, and the title of his was 30 Years Later. You know, so what has been accumulated in Hestelin in studying, because there's been some pretty interesting balls of light that he managed to get recordings of that we know are not just, as you said, you know, car headlights or inversion layers that are reflecting things. So certainly that's, I think, something that deserves a lot more study. But I guess the question I've got to you, Chris, like when you say that these things are, one, you seem to have seen a lot of them. So I'm wondering how come I'm not getting to get this. I must not be getting out and about enough. But I'm curious to know when you say that there's a sentience attached to that, what do you mean by that?
To give you an example, my brother and a researcher from the 70s, actually, who was involved early on in cattumulation research, they were coming back to Crestone, and they were traveling right down the road that goes past Blanca towards the Great Sand Dunes and then heads out west towards 17, which then takes you up to Crestone, or the turn to Crestone. And they were, you know, it was late at night, around midnight, if I remember correctly, and they saw this ball of light, a large, very large, riveting ball of light that was up in a veil of the Blanca Massif. And they found a road that kind of went up towards the mountain. They turned on it and started to head up there, and the light appeared to mirror what they were doing. They stopped. They turned their lights off. The light dimmed. He put his parking lights on. The lights changed from white to yellow. They blinked, turned the headlights on. The lights became bright and white. They blinked at it. The lights blinked back. They started to head up the road, and the lights started to race down the mountain. It was like reflecting what they were doing, like a mirror image. They stopped. The lights stopped. They freaked out. They turned around. They started to go down the hill. As soon as he hit his brakes, the lights turned red and stopped coming down the hill. They turned back around, and they played a form of almost communication with this particular huge light source. And we're talking about a very large ball of light. This is not one of your standard issue blue softball-sized lights, or let's say beach ball-sized orange light, or smaller, you know, baseball-sized red light, all of which I've seen on a number of occasions. This was a huge ball of light, but it seemed to be mimicking or playing with them and with intelligence. And I don't know how else you could explain something like that. It seemed to be mirroring what they were doing. It couldn't have been a coincidence. My brother would not make something like this up. Bill McIntyre, the guy he was with, was a real straight shooter, investigative journalist, broke several very important stories in his journalistic career. They had nothing to gain. This is before I was involved in writing, investigating. This was back in 1990, 2 years before I got involved in the ufological field. So this was a, oh, by the way, you wouldn't believe what happened to us last night type of an account. So I wish we had more time, but that's my idea of intelligence.
We do have more time. It's called After the Paracast. And what we're going to do here is we're going to adjourn this discussion on this week's episode of the Paracast and continue some of this in After the Paracast. You've got to join the Paracast Plus to hear that show. To do that, you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You get the ad-free version of the show, the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. You get no other way. And if you subscribe for a year or 5 years, you get a free copy of Chris's book, Stalking the Tricksters. A lot to come. Check us out on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. There are two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Check out our forums, forum.theparacast.com. What else can I say? Thank you, Robert Bernstein, for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now, you've heard about bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I'd prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.